Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2017.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
What are the plans for Microsoft? We're going to see more new titles from Sony PlayStation. And how about Nintendo? Interviews, roundtable discussion, previews, hand-on impressions, and more.
E3 2017 coverage on Gamertag Radio.
June 11th through the 15th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 665. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, we have Peter in the house.
Greetings and salutations, sir.
What's going on, man? What's
Chilling.
Up?
Fantastic. Having a pretty good day. Just finished our exclusive interview. I don't know. Is it exclusive? With Brendan Green, a.k.a. Player Unknown from Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you guys will be hearing the interview later on in the show. I had a great opportunity to talk to him about the game, where the concept of the game came from, questions from the community. So those of you from the Discord server, thanks for your questions, and hope you guys like it.
Nice, nice. We're going to play that later on. And see, thanks to Paris, because I think it was Paris that...
Yeah. He put me on the spot, threw me under the bus, ran me over, and went out. And it's funny because earlier that day, we had gotten a press release from them. So I reached out to their marketing team, and they put me in contact mm-hmm. with them. So shout out to them as well.
All right. So Paris is not going to be joining us this week. And here's the thing, man. We're planning to do... also E3 predictions on this episode. So what I'm going to do is the next episode, when I record with Paris, that's coming out this Monday, mm-hmm. We're also going to have E3 predictions from his side
okay.
on that episode. All right. So we're going to do that because he can't join us for this one, man. So it's all good. But P, I hope you have your predictions.
I think I'm ready. Some will probably be... common or not as surprising.
Okay.
There might be a few little what questions. No, so okay. We'll see what happens. Let's get the party on the road.
Let's do this. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes and also share with your friends. Spread the word. And also you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions.
Yo,
Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Remember to subscribe and make sure to be prepared for our E3 content. We have a lot of stuff planned, some goodies, and maybe some exclusives. Can't say what it is, but we have a lot of great, cool stuff coming from live from the show. And P, I hope you're ready for that, man. It's going to be a crazy, crazy, crazy week.
I think I'm ready. I've definitely done enough cardio, so I think this year will be different, where I will no longer be complaining about standing up and walking around. You know, I'll definitely be checking my Apple Watch for fitness information, see how much I've actually walked. Should be interesting to see. But yeah, from a gaming perspective, right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what everybody's got in store, not just the big three, but I want to see a little more on VR this year. I know over the last 2 years, I've tipped my toe into the waters of VR, and you know, some experiences were positive while some were not. Mm-hmm. But I think I want to see what is coming up, because I think that's going to be a big space for the gaming industry in the years to come. So I think it'd be a good opportunity for me to stick my head in the door and see what's going on a little bit more.
All right, so Miss Leo, drop it.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
All right, so the first prediction, it's all about Xbox. Yeah, the first one, Sunday, June 11th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. I've been saying this for months. I've been saying that they're gonna have some big, big surprises. And the reason is because, you know, they already show the specs. They've been doing a lot of interviews all about the hardware. That's already out the door. But now it's the software, the content, the exclusive, the first parties, and maybe some big games, some marketing deals for other companies. So here's my prediction. I know a couple of people have been hitting me up saying, hey, Danny, why the Xbox booth is smaller compared to Sony's and all that. I have a theory. I have a theory about that, though. I have a theory about that. Remember, the games that are going to be shown there, like ready to play at the booth, it's going to be there. But also there's going to be other games that it's not going to be playable, and they're only going to show it behind closed doors. That happens all the time with every company, everything. So I think that we might see a Perfect Dark announcement. Now, is it from Rare? Don't think so. It could be from somebody else while they're working on Sea of Thieves, right? But I think there's a smaller company probably that have been working on Perfect Dark. That's what I think.
Yeah, I see you're piggybacking on last week's show, I believe, when you guys talked about that. Interesting.
Well, Paris been mentioning, his theory is a little bit, it makes sense, but I think somebody else probably started from scratch. That's what I think. We might see also, I've been saying it every year, but I think Battletoads, man. I think Battletoads should come, man. Should come back.
You won't let that go, will you?
Why not? I'm not going to let that go. Battletoads all the way. Now, another thing too, we might see a Halo announcement. Could it be a TV series or Netflix or something? Amazon maybe. I don't see them showing any new Halo. I don't see that happening for this one. And I think they've been saying that too. 343 have been saying that like online through Twitter and Reddit and so on, that no Halo this year, which is good. It's good. I think by them doing that, by them not showing the usual Gears of War and Halo, people it looks like they're confident with the stuff that they have planned to show to everybody, you know? So, man, Let's see what else, man. I'm still thinking, man, because I already mentioned like two rare games. I don't know, man. That's the thing with Microsoft, man. It's like a big, crazy mystery with them, man. Like, I don't know. Besides everything that we know, what else are they going to show, man? Well, it's kind of tough.
So,
wait. You know what? Hold on. I think this is going to be pretty. And, you know, it fits perfectly with this episode. I think we might see Battlegrounds announcement for the Xbox. Mm. During their press conference. Now, is it coming this year? I don't know, but I see it happening, man. I see it happen. It's a very popular game now. Why not get that? It's already available for PC. Make it happen for Xbox first before it comes out.
So I don't want consoles. I don't want to be the one that rains on your parade. But I'm just gonna say, listen to the interview with PlayerUnknown. Later on in the show, we'll be discussing that. And just to correct you, it's not fully released yet. It's still in early access on Steam.
Okay.
There's still updates and things that they're doing to the game to fix, you know, net code, performance, etc. There's still other things that they're adding to it. Again, a lot of these things get covered in an interview. So, you know, for those, if you guys, if those that are listening are getting a little anxious and you want to listen, fast forward to it and then come back to the discussion and then we can continue on. But Brendan, okay. We covered that earlier.
All right. So here's a big one. This one, it's probably going to cause a lot of people to talk about it. I hope you're ready for this one, Pete. You know what? I don't care. I'm going to say it, man. I think that Sega is going to go on stage and announce a brand new Jet Set Radio game for the Xbox One.
You're literally coming back to last week's show. You just said you're going back to last week's show, just pulling everything you said just for your stuff.
The reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, there's been news that Sega is planning to bring back a lot of like the old games, you know, big IPs from back in the days. I know they're working on the new Seaman game. You know, of course, Sonic is still there. Shenmue game got announced a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well,
why not bring back Jet Set Radio? Great soundtrack, great everything. And, you know, Nintendo has Bayonetta. PlayStation has Shenmue, and I think this will be the perfect game for Xbox. Why not bring back Jet Set Radio? Why not? Now, not for this year, maybe 2018, 2019, but make an announcement and get the crowd crazy. Why not?
Okay. All right. I still think if they're going to do something, they're going to go with a bigger title. If you're going to make a splash, I would say more Sonic than
no, but Sonic is going to be available for every console. But remember, when I say Jet Set Radio, there's a crowd that loves that game, and a lot of people know about it too. It was out on the Dreamcast. They had an exclusive deal for the original Xbox. There's potential to see that come back. Why not invest on some old titles, you know, and bring it back as an exclusive or something, you know? That's what I think.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All right. So, I don't know. I might have some more, but go ahead if you have some more. Okay.
Well, we'll address the elephant in the room. Obviously, Scorpio is going to be announced, which means that they're going to announce Halo 5, Gears 4, and Forza Horizon in 4K. I think Everybody already knows Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3. I'm thinking Forza 2 and State of Decay 2 will get announced and shown. Obviously, Middle Earth Shadow of War is coming out August 2017. So they're going to show gameplay of that. I'm going to go counter to what you said about Halo 6. I think 343 is using reverse psychology. They're going to show us something. They're not going to go into detail. They're going to give it a few years. They're going to give it they're just going to give it a little tease. And I think the big thing is going to be Cuphead out now. At the conference.
You think so? I think I see that game August.
It's been in development for how long? I think the longer you put it into development hell, the longer people start to lose excitement and hype over it. They got a lot of hype last year. I know they were letting people play it at the media showcase that we went to, or the fan showcase that we went to the same day as the show. I know it was playable on the floor. I think now is a good time for them to say, okay, you guys wanted games? Here's the games. And probably at the same time, they'll probably announce something similar for We Happy Few.
Okay. All right. I do believe they're probably going to definitely announce the price at the press conference of Xbox Scorpio.
Oh, absolutely. I think we're going to see name, price, and release date.
Yeah.
Hey, my dream is still true. Okay. My dream is still true. There still has not been an official announcement of everything.
You're right. You're correct. You're correct. Now, my question is to you, Pete. Because I mentioned this during the last episode of GTR. Mm-hmm. The reason why Xbox called this system Project Scorpio.
You're crazy.
It's because if you think about it, every system that's been coming out for Xbox, new systems, it's always been November when they had like a big update for Xbox Live back in the early days. It was November. Everything is November. Big games, big everything. I told Paris thinks it's coming out September, which makes sense too. I think it's between October, November that the system is going to come out. But maybe he's right. Because the reason I say this is because the horoscope, Scorpio, I don't know. It makes no sense.
I understand where Paris is going, because there's no way that they're going to forecast exactly when they're going to release, but you can have a forecasted date or anticipated release date. Obviously, they're going to want to release during the holiday season because you want to capitalize on holiday sales, etc. So that potentially could have been what earmarked or what guided them towards the Project Scorpio name. I don't know where or who scheduled these things, because, come on. That some of the names that you guys were talking about, Revolution, Dolphin, those are all designed to shift attention or, ideas away from, what the actual end goal is. So who knows what the idea, maybe that's something we can ask Aaron and figure out, like you said on the last show.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask him that. So,
yeah. So,
Should we go to, you have any more, any other predictions?
No, as far as Microsoft is concerned, no. I honestly think they're going to give us the rest of the sales pitch on Scorpio, give us a release date, end the speculation surrounding Scorpio. When is it going to be released? What's going to be the price? And what's the official marketing name for Project Scorpio? Who knows? Maybe what if they just keep it as Scorpio?
it is possible. It is possible that we might see Scalebound. Like, look, we're going to bring it back. It's not fully canceled. We might bring it back. Mm. It's possible. It's possible for that to happen too at the press conference, man. And surprise everybody. My opinion. We'll see. We'll see. All right. So let's go now to the next one. Sony. Mm-hmm. So Sony has a big booth. Sony's going to have a lot of games. Probably announced for this one. I think that the reason why they're going to have a lot of space, their booth is huge for this year's E3, is because they're going to have a lot of VR games that people could play. There's going to be a lot of independent games, a lot of indie games for sure. And definitely they're going to show the ones that we've already seen. No Shenmue this year. God of War, they're definitely going to show Spider-Man, more gameplay and everything on that. Because, the movie is coming out later this year. Why not show something to hype it up even more, Let's see what else, man. God of War, Spider-Man, show more gameplay footage of Detroit. And also show some surprises, some big games, man. Are they going to show any RPG games with Square Enix? show that. You know, maybe they already showed Final Fantasy VII a long time ago. Are we going to see that again? I predict that we probably will see more footage of Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
For this, for sure. I think that's going to happen. And Days Gone. I see that happening too. Days Gone. Sure, more of that. And I believe that one will probably come out either October, God of War, November. And that's it so far. They honestly, Sony doesn't have to do that much. They're fine. They're doing really good.
So
right
of
now.
Those big ones that you named, Death Stranding, Spider-Man, Last of Us, Detroit, Days Gone, God of War, which one are you got? Which one is really on your list of you want to play?
That I want to play? I have three. Days Gone. Mm-hmm. I love zombie games. Detroit. Mm-hmm. Super curious about that game. That game looks great. I don't see that game coming out this year. I see that maybe 2018. And Spider-Man. I definitely want to see more of Spider-Man. Now, the real question is that game coming out this year, Spider-Man? Is it going to come out 2018?
Right.
That's the big question that I have.
So you have no interest in Death Stranding?
It's too early. I need to see more. Like, what they showed is cool and all, but it's not enough for me to be like, man, I'm buying this day one. I need to see more. See, like, I already know how Days Gone is going to be. Kind of have an idea with Detroit and other games and God of War and so on. Even The Last of Us, you have an idea. But that game, it's like they only show clips of more about the story, but I need to see more about, like, how to play the game. I need to see more. And then I'll be like, man, I want that game right away, for sure. It looks interesting. Don't get me wrong. It looks really good, but I need to see more.
Hmm.
You, Pete? Oh, wait. Forgot. They're going to show a lot of VR games. I already mentioned that, but go ahead.
All right. So we'll fire off the list of known games. Death Stranding, Spider-Man, Last of Us 2, I think we're going to see a little bit of. Obviously, we saw the big, we saw the big tease a few months ago, Detroit Becoming Human, which I want to know more. That is the one that besides Death Stranding, because Death Stranding's got me confused. It's got me feeling some kind of way. I don't know what type of game it's going to. I don't know what's going on in Kojima's head. Days Gone, I think I'm a little over the zombie apocalypse type situation. If there's a co-op component to it, though, I'll start throwing wallets and credit cards.
Well, I tell you this. I see 4-player co-op on that.
Oh my God, dude. If that's the case, I'm throwing wallets, credit cards, PayPals, the whole nine.
I see 4-player for sure.
Yeah. Uncharted The Lost Legacy, I think we're going to see a little bit more about. Obviously Gran Turismo, because that's, that's their monster racing game, and they're going to need something to compete against Forza 7. That's going to be that I really have a strong suspicion it's going to be shown along on Scorpio. And then as far as the I think we're going to see Bloodborne 2, because there was an unconfirmed leak a little while ago of a poster, not confirmed, obviously, but the same director of, I believe it's Ori and the Blind Forest, had talked about it. Again, different studios, who knows if it's 100% certain or if it's legit, but wouldn't be surprised. I think it got a lot of support and was very, very popular in the first one. I think it'll be an opportunity for Sony to continue putting the foot on the throat, right? Keeping a... Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see finally, hopefully, more about Hellblade. They modified the name. It's now Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice from Ninja Theory. I remember interviewing the developer of that game. I think I want to say it was 2 years ago at E3. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more, maybe get a release date on that. Something that's going to make some of our listeners and former GTR staff members happy. I think we're going to see Ni No Kuni 2.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And then obviously Mark Cherny is going to have to earn his credit, his paycheck. So I think we're going to see Knack 2 as well.
Knack 2. Okay. That's interesting. Great for the for the crowd, the hardcore crowd.
Yeah, the hardcore crowd, and especially, you know, they've got it. They got to make Mark Cherny happy, right? They gave him the first one. It was moderately successful, in my opinion. I wasn't a super fan, but it's got its core audience for that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, hopefully, not more for me, but more just for the general PlayStation audience. Final Fantasy 15 finally, it was unveiled in 2015. We've heard zip zero zilch since, and then as you mentioned earlier, Shenmue 3, same story. You know, a lot of hoopla.
I have a little story about that.
Okay.
There's not going to be no Shenmue 3 for for this PlayStation. I just read that online.
So much hype.
Actually, and then, they sent that. Because I remember you were there, Pete.
Yeah. You were throwing your wallet at your phone and hoping that the Wi-Fi was going to work.
So what happened? They just sent a Kickstarter update. They sent that they're not going to be at E3 to show Shenmue. So I hope next year, man. It's been a couple years now. Come on, man. Now, can I say something, Pete? Can I say something real quick about Sony?
Go for it.
Which I just forgot to mention this. I think depends on the announcement of Xbox Scorpio, like depending on the price and everything. I see Sony either announcing a price cut for the PlayStation Pro or stay quiet until the holidays and they'll say, get a PlayStation 4 Pro for $349. Boom. Limited time only type thing to compete with Xbox Scorpio. So if Microsoft says...
For the Pro?
If Microsoft said that this system is going to be either $450 or $399, I think that Sony is going to say, oh yeah, get our 4K console for $349. I see that happening. Your thoughts? To compete. Just to compete.
I don't know.
No? Okay.
I don't know. All right. I don't know. I don't know. I think PlayStation has done too well that they don't need to resort to lowering numbers because they've already got the marketplace. They've already established themselves as a leader, so there's no need. They already know that they can sell them like hotcakes at the price that they're at now. Whether they'll be reactive in that way, I just don't know. I don't think there's no need to. They've already shown that you could lower prices, do whatever you want all day long. There's no need to lower price because they're still going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, so. That's true. But hey, let me live, man. I'm just coming with a random crazy idea, you know. But it's all good. All right. Oh, this one's going to be good. Nintendo Switch, making crazy buzz. It's been number one now for the past couple months now. And I have a few things to have to say, man. I think that we might see some big announcements. One is the return of Bayonetta. Mm-hmm. We might see Bayonetta 3. I see that happening. You get the trilogy or something for the Switch. We're definitely going to see some crazy announcement from Nintendo. They probably will say, you know what? You can now update and get the virtual console right after this press conference. Download it now at the eShop. I see that happening. So you can play a lot of the old games starting that day, the day of their press conference. Or I see Nintendo making a huge announcement about Smash Brothers remaster or whatever you want to call it for the Nintendo Switch. And I see them also making a Pokemon announcement for the Switch, the 3DS version, make it available for the Switch and go from there. And maybe we also will see more gameplay of Monster Hunter from Capcom. I see that happening too. And, when I say virtual console, it's not only the Super Nintendo games, but, hey, You could also play your GameCube games on your Nintendo Switch. I see that happening too, man. Go with that. Go big. Go big, Nintendo. And they'll definitely will probably show more information about their online service. One thing that I think will be really, really cool if they make this happen, which this is my crazy prediction. I see them doing something similar to like Game Pass, the one that the Xbox already announced, something like that, but with all the old games. $10, you could $9.99 every month, play unlimited, you know, games that you want on your Nintendo Switch. And also $20 every year if you want to play online starting this fall. There you go.
Okay.
A little crazy. Little crazy there, but we'll see. go with that.
Okay. Well, first, I want to address your Smash Brothers content. I think that's going to be their big announcement. And this is actually was semi corroborated by a leak on 4chan.
Now, it's fake. It's fake.
Has it been confirmed? Fake?
Yeah. I've read very close sources from other blogs that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
They say that those images are fake. But yes, those images are fake. But I still believe that there are.
I would not be surprised. I agree because that would be, I think, a super big monster win for them.
Yep.
I think that's something that a lot of people are wanting from on the Switch.
There's one game that a lot of people want. It's been a while.
You can wait until I'm done.
Okay. Go for it.
You know me. I need to see barrel rolls. So I'm hoping we get a full Star Fox for the Switch. I want to see Metroid.
That's the game I was...
Hold on. Ahead. I'm coming with more fire. Pikmin 4.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
I can see that.
I'm thinking maybe a Super Mario Maker port coming over. Possibly a Kirby game. Maybe Animal Crossing.
That's a lot of games. Wait, this is like 2017 or this is just...
Hey, I'm bringing fire. I think I want to see a new Pokemon game, maybe a Fire Emblem. And then Elder Scrolls V for the Switch.
More gameplay on that, yes.
Yes.
You know what? Here's another game. You already mentioned Metroid, which was one of the games I was going to announce too.
Yeah.
But
didn't Paris mention that last week, or was that you?
I can't remember. We recorded so many episodes. It's hard to remember. But here's the thing. I think they're going to surprise everybody. We might see a Call of Duty announcement for the Nintendo Switch. I see Activision going on stage, shaking hands with Reggie, and showing Call of Duty for the Nintendo Switch. It's coming out this November. Same game, same everything, just from a different version for the Nintendo Switch.
I think for that to succeed, they would have to have their whole paid online service fleshed out and functional and 100% rock solid. Unfortunately, I don't have confidence in Nintendo with an online service. Not yet. They need to show more to show where it's going to be or where it's going.
Yeah, totally agree. But here's one thing though, Pete. When I played Call of Duty on the Wii U, it was great. I had voice chat and everything, you know, which is not... it's not like a PlayStation or an Xbox.
Right,
but
remember what they talked about. It's supposed to be an app on your phone.
I know, but we see that's the thing. We don't know because look, B, if Discord is available on your phone and we could chat on the phone, right? What makes you think they can't do that? They could do that.
But how many people are using that to communicate while in game?
We don't know. I've used it before, like when I was chatting with Mandy and a couple people were playing Mario Kart. She was on her PC. I was on my phone using it. So it's possible. Who knows? I see the potential. I see their online service is going to be better than a Wii U. I personally think so. they learn from those from their past mistakes. Why not make it better? But we'll see. I think that they are definitely going to show more about that and during the press conference and everything. So, but I definitely think that Call of Duty is definitely going to get announced during E3 for sure. Okay. That's a big one. And I think that's it. Well, I think we're definitely going to see more third-party games available. Not available, but like during the press conference, we're probably going to see more, of course. Call of Duty, Bethesda is going to show their games. 2K is going to show like NBA 2K. EA Sports is going to show their FIFA game, you know, and so on. Which is, those are more of like a test. Like, okay, let's see if this thing is going to sell. But yeah, I think that would be cool, man.
Okay, since you jumped into the third party realm, I have a question.
Okay.
And I kind of wish Paris was here for this, and hopefully he can answer it on the next question. The next episode. Is Metal Gear without Kojima still Metal Gear?
No.
So I know Survive, I think, is going to be announced at E3. I just wonder what kind of reaction they'll get post Kojima. Thoughts?
That's gonna be kind of awkward. I'm not gonna lie. I'm wondering where they're gonna make that announcement. If they do make an announcement at one of their press conferences, it's gonna be kind of awkward, man. Because that crowd loves him, man.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I don't think he could do any wrong. Yeah,
so if they see that game at, let's say, Xbox or PlayStation during the press conference, I think the crowd is going to be kind of like, I don't know. Is it possible some bulls?
I don't know. After everything happened in 2015 with Kojima, the last thing that we ever saw about Metal Gear Survive was the Tokyo Game Show last year.
And that's it.
There hasn't been a lot. And especially now with Death Stranding, you know, having its exclusivity over at Sony and PlayStation. How do you announce a new Metal Gear title without Kojima attached to it in any way, shape, or form? Even if it's just to have the name next to it, how is it not the same? And how is the reaction from the player base that's had decades of association between the two, now it's completely gone and shattered? How do you survive that? Like, I don't want to say maybe survive. Well, it's a little punny at that point now that I'm thinking about it last minute. But the expectations set from previous Metal Gear games, whether Kojima was explicitly responsible or had his hand in every single piece or just, you know, off in the periphery, how does that game succeed is probably the better direction for the question. How does Metal Gear Survive succeed without Kojima?
That's a great question, man. Because I think, let's just say they announce it, there probably going to be some people kind of whatever about it during the press conference and stuff. But remember too that there's people that out there, consumers that don't know about that beef that happened behind the scenes with Kojima and Konami, but they see Metal Gear and they go to the store and they see that, like, oh man, I'm gonna buy the new Metal Gear game, you know. So you got to think about that crowd too. They're just gonna buy it because it's just the name. So I think the game is gonna do decent. It's not gonna sell like the original Metal Gear series, you know, but it's gonna do okay, I think. But I'm telling you, Pete, that's going to be very awkward, man, when they announce that during the press conference. Or we might see this, man. We might even see companies not even taking a chance for Konami to make that announcement just to be safe.
Yeah, they don't, yeah, that's
the last thing.
PR nightmare. The
thing. Yeah, it's not only PR nightmare. They don't want a bad rep. Imagine all the media outlets talking about that. Oh, my God, they booed that so-and-so press conference because of the game. Like, it would just look bad. So what I think is, if that happens, we're probably just going to see a booth at E3 instead of making the announcement at the press conference. That's what I think.
Interesting.
There's a lot of politics, man, behind the scenes, man.
Oh, no, absolutely. There's politics and everything. Politics. It's just that's yep. just one that cuts beyond the politics, right? Because everybody's got, you know, not fully, but every there's a lot of people with a stake in the game, whether it be the consumer base who has had, like I said, decades of association and love for the Metal Gear, you know, franchise in general. And then you've yep. got someone who is as beloved as Kojima and everything that happened. I hate to keep rehashing, you know, the bad stuff that happened in 2015. It's just, I just want to know, like, do they have the testicular fortitude to say, you know what, here we go, boom, Metal Gear Survive. Or, like you said, do they take the seat, you know, do they take a back seat and say, you know what, let's let E3, let's let the dust settle, and then we're just gonna like serve it up real quick with like a tease on Twitter, and then we'll come back in a month after the fury has subsided, and we'll just give you a little bit more. Like, do they go the low and slow approach, or do they go, you know, hit the NOS, chug the coffee, and just run in?
You know, it's a win-win for everybody. If they don't make the, if they stay away from the press conferences, they'll be okay, and the companies will be okay too. That's what I think. So, all right, Pete. So, introduce your interview.
Yeah.
For
so,
this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
I had an excellent conversation with Brendan Green, aka Player Unknown. We go through the history of, you know, where it came about. What is Player Unknown Battleground? There's still a large contingent of people who don't know what it is. Talk about his experience working with, you know, working as a modder essentially on Arma 2 and Arma 3, and then getting picked up by Sony Online and now Blue Hole to go to create his own title. It was a great conversation. Like I said, sneakily got to get a couple of questions from our Discord community. Shout out to them for giving me some tips and questions that could be used in the show. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. It's something, obviously, you know, you guys have seen me. I've been playing it nonstop for the last month or two. I've had a utter blast. It's brought back the fun, and we talked a little bit about that as well in the show. So here you go.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, everyone. This is Pete Rock with Gamertag Radio, here with Brendan Green, aka Player Unknown. Brendan, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. So, for those that are uninitiated, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, I created a battle royale game mode way back in Arma 2 about 4 years ago or so. It proved to be quite popular going through Arma 2 and Arma 3. And then about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Daybreak, then Sony Online Entertainment, licensed my idea to be included in their upcoming title, H1Z1, which eventually turned out to be H1Z1 King of the Kill. Then about a year and a half ago, I was contacted by Blue Hole here in Korea by one of their executive producers, Chang-Yang Kim. And he offered me the chance to finally make my vision for a Battle Royale game mode, and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds was started.
Was something like this always in the back of your mind? Because I believe this started off as a mod. So was the goal for you to always go bigger and better and try to make a full branded game out of your idea? Or is this just like a...
Yeah, I mean, ever since I started making the mod, I always dreamed of having a standalone game. Like, I loved working in Arma 3. It's a great engine to mod with, but, you know, it was always kind of my dream to finally make a standalone version of the game mode. You know, I had a chance with H1, but really they licensed my idea and they went their own way with it. They kind of simplified the idea. when I was given the chance to make Battlegrounds, it was, you know, finally a chance to really make what I thought a Battle Royale game could be.
And has your experience so far working with Bluehole and everything met your expectations of what it would be like going into creating your own IP and title?
Even more than what I expected. Like, with the amount of freedom we've been given as a team within the company has been amazing. We've been allowed to call our own shots. You know, we work as kind of an indie team within the bigger company of Bluehole. Mm-hmm. The management are just, they're great. You know, they let us make all our own decisions. The team that we have is tremendous. I mean, they're all super passionate about what they do, and the amount of thought they put into things is kind of blew me away at times.
That's fantastic. That's, I've been playing the game, I want to say, for the past month and change. I gave it a little bit of time to bake when it came out in early access on Steam, and I've been playing nonstop. It's been a long time since I've, you know, like come home and shirked my husband duties to like just play the game. And it's, I have
that
to say,
a lot, you know, people are saying like, I'm addicted to your game. And it's like, sorry.
it's a good thing.
Yeah. It's been amazing, the response we've got. You know, I always believe that for my vision about Royal, it's really kind of giving people the freedom to play the game however they want, give them a good selection of weapons, you know, good depth to the loot and you know, character systems like the boost system. And if you just give them the freedom on this massive island to have a playground, but, you know, have an end goal being the killing everyone else, you know, people will find crazy ways to play the game. And it's shown over the last 2 months.
Absolutely. And speaking of keeping it fresh, you know, I'd like to, aside from just running around on an 8x8 map, is there like what do you have in mind for keeping this game, like, you know, fresh and exciting and fun over the next coming months, years, etc.?
Well, for the moment, like, our focus is really on optimizing the client and the servers. You know, that's where our core focus as a team at the moment. Last month, our engineers were focused on improving server performance. Like, our engineers are split into, you know, the development team, which kind of do most of the development. But then we have like a smaller SWAT team of developers that kind of tackle problems as they come up. At the moment, they're looking at our servers and profiling them to try to improve server performance over this month. So, you know, it's, for us, early access is really about polishing the game as it is. You know, everyone has been talking about esports related to our game, and right. You know, really, we really want to make sure that the game is competitive before we even think about sort of, you know, entering into the world of esports. You know, it's, at the moment, you can't have an esport with a game that people will die from bugs and stuff like this. So, you know, that's what our core focus is during early access. But to keep the game fresh, you know, we have two new maps coming. We have one based in kind of the previous Yugoslavia kind of region, the Adriatic, I guess. And then the other one's based in Peru. And one is a more kind of a deserty map, while the other one is more kind of not Mediterranean. Well, it is kind of Mediterranean, that kind of like feel. So, you know, we have our custom games, which we'll be expanding to more people and adding more features into it. But, you know, for us, it's really about making sure the core game is solid leading up to launch.
That's fantastic. It's just, again, I don't know if it's come across, but I mean, our listeners, the people on our Discord server have been having a phenomenal time with this. We've got like two channels now, and there's so many people playing it. Especially within our community. You mentioned something about esports, and obviously that's the big hot topic, right, with a lot of games.
I know you
said you want to make sure that the game comes out correct and proper before you guys even start to sniff something within the esports component. But if you did, what would be your ideal scenario for esports?
Well, I mean, this is like, I always thought a battle royale type game mode would be a great sport to watch, you know. You know, I love watching esports, but I always kind of, you know, I see these massive stadiums with like 20, 30,000 people in stadiums, and there's just two teams of five on stage. And I always wanted to kind of make it more into a spectacle where, you know, you have like 64 people in the center of the arena playing a game, and, you know, that kind of bigger sense of esports. But, you know, we're not not touching esports at the moment. We've employed Chris Pankhurst, or Panky. He's ex Rainbow Six Siege, and he's doing a lot of research and looking into what teams and what organizations would want from a battle royale game mode, and what we need to do as a game to fulfill those needs. So you know, we're very sort of, we want to take baby steps, essentially. You know, we don't want to rush things. I believe that any kind of esport has to grow organically, that, you know, the community have to want it first. And if the community don't want it, you know, you can't really force an esport on a game.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, we're really, our focus on esports at the moment is just really just researching and trying to figure out what's needed from the game to make it competitive. You know, for a live setting, it will be hard to do a battle royale in a live setting, because you can't really have rounds of 64 players, because you can't bring, say, 1,000 people to or 1,000 competitors, you right. know. So, you know, we have to figure out ways to do it with probably like 128 players would be kind of a maximum number you could probably bring to an event. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're really looking into ways that we can do that successfully.
Awesome. And so, staying on the tournament concept, I know you guys just recently had a tournament to raise funds for Gamers Outreach. I've known Zach for years. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that came about?
So I've been doing charity tournaments with the Battle Royale game mode ever since I started in Arma 2. We had two, I think, in Arma 3 that we raised upwards of 70,000 for Extra Life. Mm-hmm. It carried over to H1. They did a great charity tournament as well and raised quite a bit of money for charity a few years ago. And then, you know, when we came with Battlegrounds, I wanted to do the same. You know, I really believe that when you have success, you know, you're bound to try to help people, you know, if you can. So, you know, it was just trying to continue the idea of using Battle Royale to help the less fortunate. And, you know, the company agreed to, you know, back donations up to 100,000, which was, you know, amazing on their wow. part. And as a result, we raised, I think it was like $225,000 wow. for Gamers Outreach, which is an insane amount of money. Absolutely. Raised over about 6 hours, I think, you know, that,
that is
it's, and being able to help them, you know, because, you know, kids, my daughter, she had to spend a week in hospital when she was born due to complications with her heart. And mm-hmm. while she was an infant and didn't really know it, you know, I got to see kids in hospital that, you know, have been there. She was in a place called Crumlin's Children's Hospital, which is Ireland's main children's hospital. And you get to see kids that have, you know, been in hospital for 2 or 3 months. And, you know, any kind of organization that tries to make that journey easier for them, you know, I think is so well worth supporting.
No, I absolutely agree. I have a family member who's developmentally challenged, and he's been going through it for 4 years, and it's definitely a chore. And I love when we see, you know, opportunities like what Zach is doing, what Doc over at Extra Life is doing. Just any time that us as gamers are able to tap into that and help the less fortunate, just take a little bit of pressure off of their life, whether it be from a card game or a video game or what have you. I think it's a fantastic thing. And yeah, I gotta applaud you for doing that with Zach and Gamers Outreach.
Oh, you know, they are a great organization, and you know, we have to help when we can.
Right. All right, so let's get back into the game itself proper. I'm going to go through a couple of community questions that some of the people, and you know, the people that I've played with or people in our Discord server have asked. What's the proper short form of the name? I've heard so many, and like some are hilarious, some are probably not safe for work. But what's the proper short name for Player Unknown's Battlegrounds?
So people, the community tend to be calling it PUBG or PUB. You know, I personally just call it Battlegrounds. That's, you know, the reason, and we get asked this a lot, is like, why did you call it PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds? You know, it's like, it seems like a silly name, and it's, we couldn't just call it Battlegrounds, because there's a lot of other titles out there with similar names, you know, that, so, you know, putting PlayerUnknown in front of it just, you know, gets rid of all issues with copyright and trademarking and stuff like that. It's the same, the reason I called the original mod PlayerUnknown's Battle Royale, because I didn't want to call it just Battle Royale, just in case of issues with the movie. So, you know, that's the only reason it's called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, is because, you know, it just deals with the copyright issues straight away.
Gotcha.
But I think I just call it, personally, I just call it Battlegrounds. Right. But, you know, you people calling it PUBG, PUB, you know, whatever people want, I guess.
Gotcha. One of the big things that a lot of players like to, I don't want to say discuss, but that always comes up is issues like net code and hit detection and desync. Oh, yeah. What are you guys doing to help that or help fix that?
Yeah. So as I said, the engineers on the team and the SWAT team that we have internally, they were focused on client performance over the previous months because we really felt we had to, you know, improve client performance to give everyone a good experience. Next, this month and now, we're just focused on servers. You know, we're looking into different ways of possibly hosting them. We're looking into improving the server code itself. You know, Unreal, it's a great engine, but you know, it's not made for large scale open worlds with 100 people playing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not what the engine was designed for. So, you know, we're going to be spending all this month basically profiling the servers, looking where the choke points are, and really trying to improve them. You know, we know for competitive games, we have to have at least 60 tick servers. You know, mm-hmm. And you know, the current 100 player model, I don't think is competitive. You know, I don't think that should be our competitive mode. You know, I'm looking at probably 64 player servers mm-hmm. for any kind of serious competitive game mode. And those we should be able to get 60 tick, no problem. But, you know, as I said, this month is server performance is all the engineers are focusing on. So, mm-hmm. you know, we recently just rolled an update out to the servers last week that is just profiling everything and looking at where the choke points are so we can fix them.
Gotcha. So the internet was ablaze about talk of a console port. Was there any legitimacy to that? Can you go into a little bit of detail on that?
So like we said, we want to release on console also. And, you know, we have a team looking into that at the moment. But, you know, we've no confirmed dates or anything like that just yet.
Okay. No, it's because I know you mentioned 64 player. I know that's what other games have been using is kind of like their max number for competitive games. So you know, hearing you say that, it's like, okay, well, I can see how that would, you know, maybe start to hairpin that over towards, you know, console accessibility for people who don't have, you know, a PC that's able to run the game or what have you. So it's just something that just popped up in my head and I was just thinking about.
And also like, I mean, you know, the team that are working on the console version, you know, they're not part of the core development team. There's a company called Anticto. They're based in Spain. Mm-hmm. There's three of them, basically. They're super smart engineers. They did the character clothing and customization system. It's called mm-hmm. Mutable. It was in APB Reloaded, I think. So, you know, they have a lot of experience with this kind of stuff. So, you know, we're not, it's not like we're not, you know, we're taking resources away from the PC version to work right. on any console version. It's, you know, they're a separate team. You know, the PC version is our core focus, really, you know, until that's really complete.
Gotcha. Any chance, and going back to some of the community asks, any chance for a video editor within the game? Because I've seen so many instances, whether it's me personally or my friends or watching YouTube videos of people taking gameplay and converting that into content for people to digest. Is there a possibility of something like that coming into PlayerUnknown's Battleground?
Oh, sure. So we have both 2D and 3D replays. If you want to get a sense of what the 2D replays will be like, if you look at the Arma 3 leaderboards, we have match tracking for every single match that happens. And you can watch, you know, the match back in 2D on a map and see where everyone went and track people's mm-hmm. movements. But we also have full in-game 3D replays planned with, you know, free roam cameras and slow motion and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. you can watch around back in the engine, kind of like CSGO demos, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, we have a team. We have a team working on this that we've no ETA. We'd like to get it done within a few months, but mm-hmm. we've no ETA on it yet. But we want to do like a full replay system. And this also benefits any possible esport because mm-hmm. it allows us to, you know, replay kill because, you know, tracking kills in Battle Royale in a live event is insanely hard because right. having 64 plus people fighting at the same time,
keeping an eye on all of that going on at the same time would be difficult.
Exactly. So having a live replay system is the way that we will get around this. you know, it's going to benefit esports, but it's also going to benefit hugely content creators, because you'll be able to go in and create machinimas of your match, because you know, you can follow yourself around or follow someone else around, and you know, watch action in slow motion, recording, and you know, ultimately I want a cinematic camera in there that you can create depth of field and other stuff like that to really make some interesting content.
Absolutely. So we know that PUBG is in early access. How much longer are you anticipating until we get a full release?
We're thinking, you know, we've said about 6 months in early access. So, you know, we're hoping sometime in fall to be releasing the full version of the PC game, or the PC version. We've no confirmed ETA yet, but it is within, you know, about 4 or 5 months.
Gotcha. Awesome. And then will there be an incentive for early access players when the game does go into full release?
I'm not sure what you mean by incentive. Like, we don't see ourselves raising the price at all. You know, we want to keep it at, we think $29.99 is a pretty good price for the product. You know, so we'll be including modding sometime in the future as well. But we have to find the correct way to do that. But, you know, we'll probably give our early access players maybe a custom skin or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Cause I know there's some people that have been running around with this coat that I cannot get anywhere, whether it's from a.
So this was the deluxe version. Like, we had some deluxe editions, like pre-purchase editions. Yeah. And one of them was the deluxe edition, which came with the Player Unknown set. And we had very limited numbers to give away. And they all went, like, you know, hotcakes, basically. Yep. And, you know, as a result now, you know, the Steam Marketplace, I think the code is up to like $200-$300 in the Steam Marketplace, which is insane to me. But that's our plan with cosmetics anyways, to kind of create this economy, you know, the reason you see our in-game crates, they sort of double in price every time you buy one. And it's to create a soft limit for the amount of crates you can buy every week. So that, you know, we do create rarity among skins, because, you know, I want to be able to reward players for playing the game. You know, you get a crate, you get a key and open it, and you've got a $100 skin. You know, that it's, you know, it's trying to give back to the people that are playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually ventured into the Steam store, and I saw the price and I promptly closed it, because I was like, yeah, I'm not going to spend $100 on a skin.
No, right. But there are people that spend $100 on skins.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No. I get it. I've wallet warriored my way into crates on other games. So I don't know. Maybe wouldn't be surprised if maybe I do end up in a coat in the future.
Right.
So for people that were not aware, or if they wanted more information on the game, where can we go?
So we have our Twitter, PU Battlegrounds, and we're pretty active on that. We try to post updates pretty much every day. And, you know, it's something we've always been committed to since day one, which is like this really open development process where, you know, we just lay everything out. You know, it's, we want to, because I come from, you know, I'm not an industry veteran. You know, I come from being essentially a consumer of games to now making games. And it's the one thing that really frustrated me about you know, seeing games getting made, that I never really knew how they got made. You know, I never really understood the process of getting games being made. So, you know, this is something I really wanted to take on when making my own game, was to show people how games get made. And show, you know, the nitty gritty of, you know, what system, how systems are designed and all this kind of stuff. So our Twitter, we try to keep updated with, you know, work in progress shots and stuff like that. We have a Facebook as well, Play Battlegrounds, and our website, playbattlegrounds.com. We also have forums linked off our website, forums.playbattlegrounds.com, and we have a pretty active community there. And if you're playing the game and want to leave feedback and suggestions, leave them there. And the team, you know, we do an internal kind of wrap up of what the forums have suggested and reported over each week, so the team can look into it. So, you know, we're deadly serious about really taking our community's feedback and trying to make the game better via it.
I appreciate, you know, you taking your time early morning to jump on this call with us and talk PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I've had a blast with the game. I cannot wait to see what you guys have coming up in the coming months. Will you guys be at E3?
Yeah, we'll be there. I'm heading actually to, I've got a long trip ahead of me. I'm heading to Seattle on Saturday, then E3 next week, and then Sweden. We just announced we're doing a massive LAN event at DreamHack. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, can you talk more about the DreamHack thing?
Yeah, so basically we're just... let me pull up the press release because I can't remember exactly what it said. No, but basically we're having a massive, like 100 player rounds in the LAN event, and everyone at the Bring Your Own Computer event will be given like a test version of Battlegrounds to play at the event, so they can test it out. It's more just to run it in a LAN environment, not meant to be super competitive, but just to give people at DreamHack a new experience, essentially.
That's awesome. That's awesome. As soon as we saw the press release hit this morning, it was like, oh wait, do you think we can go? And I was like, oh, that's right after E3. Yeah, we're gonna be a little tired. I don't know if that's gonna
Oh yeah, no, so we leave E3 on the 15th and arrive like late on the 16th, and then the following morning we have to go straight and start like setting up. So it's going to be fun. We're going to be walking around like zombies. Yeah,
I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, we will be at E3 as well. Hope to run into you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be around. So just hit me up and we can hook up. And yeah, I'll message you some stuff after the call.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, once again, Brandon, thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it. And hopefully see you in the game.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks so much, Peter.
No, thank you.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, Pete. Great job, man. Great, great job. Props to you.
Thank you.
How was that, man? After you were done with the interview, how was that? The whole vibe and conversation overall.
No, it was great. It was great. We were able to you know, just it was great hearing from him. Hearing the story, because you know there's been a couple of interviews over the last couple of months with him as the game has exploded in popularity. I mean, essentially went onto in early access with a little bit of fanfare, and now actually I want to say last week it's surpassed Overwatch and CS:GO in overall sales.
That's awesome.
On an early access game, which has only been out since March, right? So if you really think about it, we've got, what, 2.5 months, 3 months? I want to say it was like $34 million in total sales, according to that article. So, I mean, it's picking up steam. There's been a heavy content creation support on YouTube and Twitch for people. I mean, hell, I've been the most... Yeah, it's only available on PC. It's a PC is their primary focus. He talks a little bit about it in the show, in the conversation. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more from Blue Hole and PlayerUnknown. Let's put it that way.
All right, man. Great job, man. Props to you.
Thanks.
But guys, don't worry. All the listeners out there, we plan to have more goodies between now and E3. You have a lot of stuff planned. And also on Monday, I have an interview coming up with a gaming historian. I'm a huge fan of his YouTube channel. It's cool because he talks about a lot of like different topics. Like one of his episodes, he talked about who created the D-pad. I was like, wow, that was very impressive. So that one was cool. He talked about the history about the launch of Sega, Dreamcast. Talked about a lot of cool stuff, man. About like Nintendo, the Virtual Boy, all that stuff. And he's planning to have a Blu-ray coming out, I think, next month for the Indiegogo, people that supported through Indiegogo. I'm one of them, so I'm getting that. So we had a great, great conversation about that. So I'm going to play that on Monday's episode. So I can't wait for you to check it out. And subscribe to his YouTube channel. Great, great channel. Highly recommended. And tell him that Danny, Gamertag Radio sent you, man. So... All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.lit/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes, and you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. We'll be right back.
All right, Pete. Just once again, man, props to you. You're not going to be joining us on the next episode, right? You're going to be busy over the weekend and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I am taking my son to college. Cringe. Wow. Yeah, it's taking him to freshman orientation, and should be very interesting. It's going to be...
Let me ask you, man. How old was he when we first met? When we first, like, the early days of GTR? Wow. He was a little kid. He was I think he was in elementary school still, right?
2005?
Oh, my
2006?
God.
Actually, no. This is my 10-year anniversary with my wife. So, 2007, which would have made him 9?
Oh, my God. I think it was 2006, right?
8, 9
years
old.
I think it was 2000. Oh, my God, man.
About 8, 9 years old.
Oof. Insane how time flies, man. Crazy. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.